Welcome back to the Microsoft Virtual Academy. And today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic, the sale of shares versus the sale of the business. We are really talking about SMEs who are in the acceleration phase of their business, and you are debating this whole concept of sale of business versus sale of shares. I'm Catherine Young. I'm the owner of Thinkroom Consulting. It's always a pleasure to be with you in studio. But my distinguished guest today, Patrick Jackson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Catherine.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you in studio with us. Before we get into the detail, please introduce yourself to the audience. Tell us more about who you are.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm Patrick Jackson. I'm a South African attorney.
Right.
And I was in the attorney's profession for many years.
Right.
Working for and a partner of a major law firm in Johannesburg in South Africa.
Yeah.
At the time, the largest law firm in Africa.
Yeah.
And I landed up heading the tax department and doing a lot of work with merchant banks and investment banks.
Yeah.
And I was then asked to join a merchant bank, and I joined BOE Merchant Bank and headed up what was called financial engineering.
Right.
Then with a merger with Nedbank, I headed up equity capital markets at Nedbank, and which basically ran all the equity divisions
yeah.
in the treasury and stock brokers.
Yeah.
And then a number of years ago, I went out on my own, joined up with a number of ex-merchant bankers. I have my own company called Penrick. I'm in association with other people like Ernest Mathewson,
right.
who's an ex-merchant banker
right.
in Kapanga. And I'm very involved in a network of entrepreneurs and venture capitalists called the Miracles of Capital.
Yeah.
And we run that in Africa through a company called Deep Ocean.
Yeah, and to add, run that very successfully. I've been exposed to Deep Ocean, and I think you guys are doing a fabulous job. So what you've just said, I have so much respect for what you've just said. About half of it, I didn't understand what it meant because it's way over, too complicated for me. But I have respect for what you do because that's exactly it. And that's why we want you in studio, because we really need the knowledge that are in wonderful people's heads like yours and to share with the SMEs that are part of our audience. Now, today we're going to be talking about the sale of shares versus the sale of business, right? And just to get the audience to understand, can you help us? What is the difference between sale of shares and sale of business?
Okay. When you sell a company, you sell the shares in the company, and the company as a legal entity continues to exist.
Yeah.
And every transaction that's undertaken in a company continues theoretically to carry on.
Yeah.
And the company itself is separate from its shareholders.
Right.
And you take over the company by taking over the shares.
Right.
When you sell a business, assuming it's a business in a company, what the company does is it sells the business of the company or a division of the company, which is a standalone business,
right.
out of the company to another company.
Right.
And that is technically a different type of transaction. You're not taking over a legal entity, you're taking over the assets and liabilities of the legal entity and placing it into a different legal entity.
Okay.
And those have different consequences.
Okay.
And frequently, what one discovers with SMEs and with entrepreneurs who are superbly qualified in their particular passionate area, the nuances of whether they are buying a business or buying a company or selling a business or selling a company aren't gone into in the detail, which should be to avoid problems.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I want to make sure I understand that. So the sale of the shares, you're literally selling some of the shares. The business, the legal entity remains.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the sale of the business actually means, so in this example, so as you were talking, I was thinking, could we use Anglo-American as an example? They have just gotten rid of a lot of their assets. Would that be sales of businesses within the larger business, right?
Yes. That could be the sale of shares because they own subsidiaries. But if you took an SME where, let's say, a person was a had a business where he owned a garage.
Right.
And it was in a company.
Right.
He could sell the company, and therefore someone would take over the company and therefore run the garage.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Or alternatively, he could sell all the assets in the garage. Mm. Well, the pulleys and the chains and yes. everything like that. And that person could take over that business, lock, stock and barrel, and then run that differently.
Got it.
It's exactly the same concept with Anglo.
Got
the
it.
Only difference is that probably one's dealing with a subsidiary that will be sold out.
Got it. Yes. Okay. Yep. That makes good sense. Now, let's go a bit deeper into the sales of shares. What are the positives and negatives linked to selling shares?
The positives to selling a share is in essence that you take over the company and you run the company, and it's in a way a clean transaction.
Right.
The other positive is that frequently companies have historically battled to get going and they have an assessed loss.
Yeah.
And if you just take the assets out of the assessed loss, you land up with a situation where the economic value of that assessed loss is lost to the parties.
Right.
So it's attractive in those circumstances to take over a company rather than take over the business of a company.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Do you have any examples in your experience? We don't have to necessarily mention the name of the company mm-hmm. or the name of the transaction, but just can you give me an example where the sale of shares worked well and then where it didn't?
An example where it works well is where the entity itself has licenses,
yeah,
and it's difficult to get those licenses elsewhere.
Right.
And so it's best to take over. It's best to take over that entity, and that's happened in places where you need licenses.
Yeah.
And linked to that, sometimes the situation has arisen where the company is at a stage where it's now beginning to take off. They need more involvement of other people,
yeah.
so they sell the company
yes.
out into a greater group,
yes.
and they use the assessed loss there.
Right.
So that's where it has worked.
Worked.
Where it hasn't worked is
yeah.
where, and we'll get onto it later.
Yeah.
And notwithstanding the fact that due diligences have been done, etc., what has transpired is that neither party knew that certain transactions were being investigated.
Mm.
And once the investigation took place,
okay.
suddenly these skeletons came out of the cupboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's problematic because you now
yeah.
own and control all the yeah. past history of that entity.
Wow.
Yeah.
And responsible for that.
And you're responsible for it.
So what would your advice be at negotiation stage?
Well, the tendency in the SME space
yeah.
Is to buy businesses rather than companies.
Okay.
And the advice would be in the medium, the small to medium sized business, unless there's a compelling reason to buy the company, and that compelling reason may be you're in telecommunications and you need a telecommunications license.
Yeah.
Or that there's an assessed loss of 5 million sitting in the company, although the company has now changed, gone around
yeah.
the corner, is on the J yeah. curve to be taking off.
Yeah.
But you've got
yeah.
28% of 5 million to shield you from future taxes,
right.
which should be paid. So then it's worth investigating taking over the company in those circumstances.
Right. Okay. I'm learning a lot. So now on the sale of the business. Okay, can we just go a little bit deeper into that, positives and negatives?
Okay, the positives for the sale of a business from the purchaser's point of view
yeah.
is that you sterilize the history, and all you take out of the situation are theoretically the assets of
yes.
the company and its business, its trademarks.
Yes.
And in essence, the same thing is achieved through two different mechanisms.
Mm.
So you're in a position where you now are certain that there's a clean slate.
Mm.
All you've got are the assets and the liabilities of the company that you've done a due diligence on, and as a result of that, you start off on your own.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can run it the way you want.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Some negatives?
The negatives are that you have to deal with specific assets.
Right.
And as a result of that, there may be costs relating to the transfer of those specific assets.
Okay.
And also, there are tax consequences for different classes of assets. And as a result of that, you have to be very particular as to your understanding of precisely what you're getting and what the consequences are of that for you.
Give us an example of a tax implication.
Well, one, let's give the implication of VAT.
Right.
In the South African context.
Right.
Now, in the South African context, a transaction where you buy a business is classified as zero rated,
right.
So no VAT is paid on it. If the two people involved are both VAT vendors,
right.
And we've been involved in situations where the client has set up an SPV,
special purpose vehicle,
purpose vehicle, but forgotten to register it for VAT.
Boy.
And you're just about to conclude the transaction, and suddenly there is a 14% impact on it. So you've had to put the brakes on it. That's one implication.
Yeah.
Another implication is that trading stock in most jurisdictions and the South African jurisdiction is income. You think you're getting 10 million for your transaction, but in that 10 million, there's 2 million rands worth of trading stock, which is coming across. Now, that would be classified in the hands of the purchase of the seller as an income-producing item, therefore taxed at the income tax rate.
Yes,
and they may have thought that it's capital in nature because the entire transaction is worth 10 million, and therefore they're only subject to capital gains tax. So there is an enormous amount of detail in those layers that people must be aware of.
Wow, Patrick. I mean, really, I'm amazed, and that's why it's so important to get experts in transactions like that, such as you, because there's no ways the normal man in the street's going to figure this out.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Have you had any experiences where companies, small businesses, try to do this on their own?
I have experiences where, because we're now involved in the SME sector, where people come for, shall we say, over a drink or over supper advice. And it's very difficult because they haven't thought through all the issues involved.
Yes.
And they have tried to do it on their own. And sometimes there hasn't been an issue at all.
Yeah.
On other occasions, they have had a problem or two in relation to some of the consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what we're hearing from Patrick really is that we've got to be very careful with how we would attack, that's probably the wrong word, but the right word, Murphy, but how we should approach this. Really, it's a serious, serious topic to discussion. You cannot just do this on your own because you have real tax implications. And as we know, for many countries throughout Africa, in fact, probably the world, is that the taxman is that one person you cannot run away from, right?
Exactly.
You are jointly and severally liable, you and yourself, to the taxman. Okay, so I get the difference between the sale of shares and the sale of business. What are some of the other matters that we have to consider, right? So talk to me, like, example, the purchaser who needs to seek a warranty. What's that all about?
It would be more in the situation where the seller needs to seek a warranty.
Right.
In that, in both circumstances, where you're selling shares,
right.
Although you're selling the entity itself,
yes.
The person buying that entity wants to know that has historically been properly run, that its books are in order, that it has all its licenses, that all its contracts are of the type of contract where it will remain in the company, because on a number of occasions, you will have in a contract that if there's a change of control, then the contract can come to an end.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
So you warrant that there are none of those, or
right.
you warrant that everything's in order.
Right.
And so warranties are particularly important when you are selling a company, because you're taking over the history of the company.
And these are all done before the sale?
They're all done before the sale.
Okay, due diligence?
Well, that's the point. The point is, I think the due diligence is done before the sale. The warranties form part of the sale.
Got it.
But you make sure that you can give the warranties during the process of the due diligence.
Yeah.
And then they're all listed in the contracts.
Yeah, yeah.
They apply both to, as I said, the sale of business and the sale of shares. More importantly, perhaps, in the sale of shares in a theoretical sense, but even when you're buying the business, you want to know that the assets have been well maintained, that the person has the authority to sell them to you, that the assets aren't subject to anyone else having rights over them, that they can transfer the licenses to you, etc., etc. And in a standard sale of business or sale of shares agreement, you'll have 14 or 15 categories that you cover.
Right.
And what is a little upsetting for entrepreneurs and businessmen who aren't familiar with this is that the lawyer may be a little fastidious and may include lots and lots of warranties that really aren't applicable and that sometimes upsets the parties, but it's part of the necessary process of making sure that the business is in a saleable condition.
Do you have to advertise whether you're selling the business or not, or the business has been sold or not?
You don't have to advertise, but the question you ask leads on to another situation, and that is, in most jurisdictions, and certainly in South Africa, there are insolvency laws which protect shareholders and protect creditors. So if you don't advertise or publish that you're selling the entire business, then what happens in South Africa is that there's a period of 6 months where the creditors can come against the seller.
Oh, wow.
And so what you don't want in that situation is creditors coming to the party and spoiling it, so you advertise or publish. And it also helps the seller, because if there are any issues outstanding, they can come to the fore.
It'll be raised, And then what happens to employees when you sell?
Different jurisdictions have different laws in relation to that. But in South Africa, we have strong employee protection laws.
Right.
So in South Africa, regardless of whether it's a business or the sale of the shares, you have to take over the employees on the same terms and conditions that existed immediately prior to that.
Okay.
And so there is employee protection. Obviously, if there's consolidation some form of retrenchment, that has to be negotiated with employees.
Yeah.
And there has to be a genuine retrenchment rather than just a preference of one person over another.
Yeah. So that's very important what you're raising. And SMEs, remember, when you are selling the business or the shares for that matter, the employees are a big component of it. And there's some requirements that you have to comply to get that done properly. Let's talk about tax issues with the sales of shares.
With the sale of shares? Two fundamental tax issues with the sale of shares. The first is the sale of shares a sale which relates to a business or is it capital? So is it income or capital?
Okay.
Now, in most circumstances, you will land up where the sale of the business is the sale of a capital item rather than an income item, because the person has run the business and owned the business for a particular period of time, and he is selling that capital item. But there are situations which occur where the person's involved in share transactions all the time. So what he's doing is he's simply buying and selling companies. Now, someone who buys and sells companies, it won't be regarded as a capital transaction for that seller, but as income.
Got it.
So those are the you must ask that fundamental question. in most cases, the tick will be that it should be capital.
Yeah.
And therefore subject to capital gains tax and not income tax.
Okay.
And in most jurisdictions, capital gains tax is less than income tax. So that's an important distinction.
Okay.
If there's capital gains.
Fascinating. I can't believe I actually now understand that concept, but it's exactly that. So if it's in the business of buying and selling businesses, that's income, and that's income tax, right?
Yes.
And then on the other side, if it's truly for the capital, it's capital gains tax.
So if you've got an IT company, you spent your life, that portion of your life developing your IT company, you sell the IT company, and that's all you have done, that will be a capital gain for you.
Yes.
Hopefully a gain and not a loss.
That is, you're adding awesome value to my life today. I appreciate that I'm learning. And then the tax issues with the allocation of a purchase price and then the VAT. Can we just break down? I know we say that they're fixed assets, intellectual property, etc., etc. What's all in that purchase price?
Well, in the sale of a business, you can simply specify one particular amount. So you can say, I'm selling the business for R1 million.
Right.
And that's quite acceptable.
Right.
However, within that business, you invariably have fixed assets,
mm-hmm.
you invariably have intellectual property,
mm-hmm.
Working capital, and trading stock.
Yeah.
And while it's not compulsory to
break it down,
it may be preferable, and most people would advise that you've got to break it down in one form, and that form is when you report it to the revenue authorities, because they will tax them separately.
Wow.
And that's where
are they different tax rates?
Well, that's where it becomes very interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a distinction between the interests of the seller and the interests of the buyer.
Yeah.
For example, take fixed assets.
Right.
So you've got machinery in your in your factory, and now you're selling that machinery.
Right.
And you've taken wear and tear allowances and depreciation allowances over that machinery.
Right.
For the seller, the best price at which to mark that machinery would be the tax value.
Of course.
But for the buyer, the best price would be higher. So that they can then start afresh with a higher price to depreciate it. And that there's real tension there. And I've been involved in situations where that becomes a big issue in the negotiation between the parties, because the seller wants to put as much as they possibly can to get the deductions over the coming years.
Course.
And the buyer, if he concedes to that, is going to get a recoupment at an income tax rate on that.
Mm.
And that.
And you've got to have one or the other.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. In essence.
I'm fascinated by your job. Mm. And then you said for VAT purposes, it's usually zero rated.
Right? Zero rated if both people are VAT vendors in South African context.
Got it. Yeah. It has been a fascinating session. In closing, are there any ideas or thoughts you want to leave with the SMEs when they consider the topic we've just discussed?
Yes, I think what I'd like to say is that in the world where everything's ideal, you can be a Warren Buffett and you can actually just shake hands with people and the deal can be done.
Yeah.
However, we don't live, for most of us, in that type of world.
Mm.
And when you're in the process of building your company, buying other companies, consolidating with other companies, this is a topic which is important.
Mm.
And you must know the distinction between whether you're buying assets or whether you're buying a company.
Yeah.
And you must know the legal consequences of that and the accounting consequences of that, because you don't want to land up thinking that you're paying X and in actual
That's
fact
right.
you're paying more, or if you're selling thinking that you're getting X and you're getting X minus because of the consequences of what you've done.
That's right. Valuable information, especially for those SMEs who are looking at and buying and selling to grow or not their businesses. Some other resources that we can go look at, please make sure to go to the Deep Ocean Capital website, docapital.net. Also, if you want to look at transferring employees as a result of the sale of a business, and there are examples of the United Kingdom and South Africa, go to bowman.co.za. There's some interesting information there. And buying a business versus buying shares, there's a comparison on caveatlegal.com. It's always a pleasure to be in studio with you. I hope you have learned as much as I have. I'm overwhelmed by the information, to be very honest, and I've got to go process that. But until next time, make sure also to go check out our session that we recorded on the IPO for those SMEs in the acceleration phase, as well as those SMEs who are thinking about IPO or exit, to get your data vaults in order for that. Until next time, from Catherine Young, goodbye.